Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us for another ECM Connection exclusive podcast. My name is Vicki Amendola, and I'm the editor with ECM Connection. I'm going to spend a little bit of time today talking about scanning and capture, and the fact that what happens before you capture the data is just as important as capturing the data itself, more along the lines of a migration away from fees and speeds to efficiency, and possibly some things in that realm you may not have thought about before. With us today is Mark Messier from OPEX, and he's going to share some thoughts with us. Hi, Mark.
Hi. How you doing, Vicki?
So thanks for joining us, Mark. Hey, I want to start out and ask you some questions specifically focused on speeds and feeds of our capture equipment. You know, typically these are calculated in pages or images per minute, so naturally it leaves people looking for solutions for document scanning, and they tend to think that faster is better. But one of the things that I've seen OPEX in particular come out strongly on recently is that faster machines do not necessarily lead to speedier scanning processes. And can you give me some background on why OPEX feels that way?
Yeah, fees and speeds are important in some aspects, but it's sort of it's information that's out of context. How fast the machine goes at the end of the scanning process is interesting, but it doesn't really give you a true measure of the overall activity that it takes to get ready to scan.
Okay, Mark. So if I understand you correctly, what you're referring to by getting ready to scan is actually what we typically hear of called document prep, which, okay, it sounds pretty simple on the surface, but if you were talking about document prep robbing the efficiency from a fast production scanner, so what are some of the things that you consider to have a significant impact on the actual speed of the scanning process if it's not just the speed of a scanner you're looking at?
Well, again, there's a process involved. Scanning is the culminating activity of the process of making paper turn into images. The images are what you're going to try to use because that's where the content is. But what happens and has happened historically is that most of the activity, most of the labor and cost and risk associated with imaging takes place before the paper gets anywhere near the scanner. You know, there's usually a coordinated series of steps that have to take place typically to satisfy the machine. It isn't there because it's adding value to the paper. That doesn't happen usually until after the paper has been imaged. But what you're doing is making the paper more readily transportable through a machine, and that takes a whole lot of steps like opening mail, extracting the contents, removing staples, taping torn documents, photocopying small ones onto larger ones, any number of activities geared toward trying to make the paper easier to put through the scanner. So when you take a look at the scanning at the end of all that, there's a ratio of the amount of people and effort that it takes to keep the scanner going, to keep it fed. In fact, it's sort of an interesting thing. If you walk into most scanner situations, most scanning rooms, you'll see one or two scanners and you'll see 18 to 20 desks.
And based on that picture that you're describing, so it sounds like this sounds like what we would see in a centralized or production scanning environment with a high volume of varied documents to deal with. And correct me if I'm wrong, Mark, but I think I've seen an OPEX presentation that estimates it could potentially take as much as 20 hours of prep time to keep a high-speed scanner running in this type of environment. And I think that that is what you're getting at. So how can you substantiate this equation and the unbalance that you identify between the actual mechanical speed of a scanner and the speed of the actual scanning process that you are claiming?
Yeah, well, basically, and of course this is always arguable, but if you were going to take some sort of general measurements of speed, a person prepping work, sitting at a desk, opening mail, taking out the contents, doing the various things, stamping receive dates, taping, removing staples, putting batch headers, all that activity to make a nice, neat stack of paper, they can do that usually at a rate of something in the vicinity of 600 pages an hour. Some can do it faster, some slower, but that's a pretty good rule of thumb number. So if you have a scanner that is, say, a 200-page-a-minute scanner, and some of them out there are faster, but That's a kind of a middle-of-the-road number. Essentially, that scanner is going to consume one person's hour of labor in, what, 3 minutes? So if you want to keep that scanner continuously moving paper, which is why you bought it, you have this large capital investment, you want to keep it fed, well, you have to throw enough hours of labor at it at a 3-to-1 ratio, but in this case, it'd be a 20-to-1 ratio, I guess. So you have to have 18, 20 people keeping that scanner going. It's probably not quite as high as that, but it's something on that order of magnitude. And counterintuitively, the faster your scanner goes, the worse the problem is. So we've found that there's better to have a balanced process and to scan paper at the rate that you can deal with it physically. So we tend to call that write speed scanning. It doesn't really matter how fast the scanner goes. It matters how fast you can get the work out of the scanner, including all the steps it takes to put it in.
So does that make it, that would make it seem like it would be different for, depending on what your company's doing, what that write speed would be. How do you determine that?
Well, we have some historical precedent. Obviously, we have other customers doing similar work. We tend to come in and do what we refer to as a mail study. So we sit down and look at what you do. This is OPEX I'm speaking of, but I think all the vendors tend to do this. They come in and make an examination and try to look at what efficiencies can be gained by doing things somewhat differently, by moving some of the processes around or changing how they're done. And by eliminating some of the steps, we've identified now 25 different types of prep activity, I think it is. And what we're talking about doing here is combining steps and eliminating and mitigating as much of the prep as is possible. So when you do that, you wind up gaining fractions of seconds. This is it's a cumulative gain is what's happening. So if you're working with a large backfile conversion, for example, and you're working out of a box and you're taking file folders and scanning the paper, if you can save a half a second on this piece and a quarter second on that piece and 3 seconds on the one that you're going to go make a photocopy of because it was torn badly, and if you can mitigate that activity by having a forgiving feeder, a system that will take paper as, you know, intermixed sizes, intermixed weights with tears, with staples, things like that, you start to accumulate a time savings. And that's really what write speed scanning is about. There's no sense trying to make a poor piece of paper go ripping through a machine at high speed if you're going to have to do all the, you know, spend an hour getting it ready. I mean, you might as well go through at a slower rate, for example, for that one piece of paper, than to try to put it in the middle of a whole bunch of other sheets that might have been able to go through faster. So we deal with paper as it's presented to us, and we've made a machinery that can deal with that kind of problem.
So if you're proposing equipment that can eliminate the concern over a few of the prep issues you've outlined, such as torn paper or smaller paper sizes, and you couple that with a complementary scanning speed, then you would have the best of both worlds. Is that the concept that you're seeing play out or that you're hoping to see in the future?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, what's happening, you know, in the time that it would take you to normally prep something, we can have already prepped it and scanned it. So we're gaining back that time, sometimes less time. Typically, we've got case studies that we can take people to, for example. 50% roughly of the amount of combined labor is something from an order of magnitude that we're pretty comfortable and see, you know, pretty commonly. So we don't eliminate it. I don't want to ever overstate it and say that, you know, you never have to take a staple out. Of course you do if you want to have separate images. You know, obviously you need to at least separate the pages. But in a case like ours, if the staple happens to remain in one of the pages, it doesn't cause any damage going through the system. It can go right through. A torn piece of paper that you would normally have to tape, in a case like ours, we just put the best edge we have leading through to the feeding mechanism and don't have to tape it. I demonstrate this all the time. So it's these mitigations and savings of these, you know, very small steps, none of which have anything to do with the data on the page, which is what the ultimate goal of this is. You're trying to get actual usable, workable images into knowledge workers' hands via their workstations. you know, we don't want you to spend any more labor than is absolutely necessary to get that done. And that's the design concept that we've come up with in our one-touch scanning.
So it's not just about feeds and speeds. And we've heard that general claim quite often over the past few years. And you address a lot of that in what you've said today by focusing on the actual seconds consumed in document prep when determining what the speed of your scanning process will actually be in the end, despite the speed of the machine. So I guess my last question for you, Mark, would be, what specific analysis should a company be doing to find out what scanning application is really going to meet their needs?
If you could do this again, if you were looking at this today with fresh eyes, what might this be able to look like? And sometimes it's a massive change. You know, they have to grab their nose and jump in with both feet. But most of the time what happens is they examine the processes, we look for efficiencies, analyze what they're doing, and then a lot of times they'll dip their toe in. They'll start with maybe one of their more troublesome processes or applications. Maybe it's check processing, or maybe it's applications for employment aid. It can be any number of things, you know, order processing. And they usually start off with the first one and get that first one standardized and understand how they could do it differently. And then from there, they start to grow it. It does take a leap of faith to some degree. I mean, they've been doing it the way they do it for a very long time. And we come in and suggest something that's a little different, or in a lot of ways quite different. And so they have to see it, and we have to talk through the numbers and talk over the ROI. And usually the ROI is so compelling that on its face, they can't just dismiss it. They have to say, you know, we've got to look at this. You know, this is a game changer. We can save a significant amount of money or time or better satisfy our customers if we give serious consideration to this sort of a change. And that starts the ball rolling.
Great. Well, that's all the time that we have for today's podcast, Mark. Hey, I want to really thank you for joining us today, as well as all of you that are listening. I hope that you found some of the information you needed in regards to determining what scanning applications might be right for your environment. If you have any questions, of course, you can always reach out to us here at ECM Connection, as well as do research with us online at ecmconnection.com. Until we talk to you next time. See you later. Thanks, and have a great day.